yesterday was July 25th and the feast of St. James the Apostle. James was Jesus' disciple for whom this church was named. There were actually two apostles named James. The other James was the son of Alphaeus and is remembered on May 1st. Our St. James was the son of Zebedee and the brother of John. These two sons, James and John, along with their father, were fishermen. So James is a great choice for this church that sits beside the water. James and his brother were nicknamed Sons of Thunder, probably because they were impetuous, if not downright hot-headed. These two brothers, James and John, were part of Jesus' inner circle of friends. Jesus singled them out to be with him at the Transfiguration and to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. As we heard in today's reading from Acts, James was the first apostle to be martyred. Legend has it that after his death, his body was carried to Spain and buried at Compostela, which continues to be a pilgrim destination to this day. Today, as we celebrate the saint for whom we are named, it's appropriate to reflect on our identity, who we are as a church. So I wonder, what comes to mind first when you think about St. James? Maybe our beautiful location on the lake. Maybe the austere stone facade and the distinctive slate roof. Perhaps what first comes to mind when you think about St. James are the people that you sat with at worship before COVID, or the loving pastoral care of this parish family. Perhaps your first thought was some aspect of outreach, like the soup kitchen or the rescue mission, or the days of community service. There's a bit of history that not many people know. This stone building that we know as St. James is actually the second church building built on this site. The first, St. James, was a much smaller wooden frame building painted white. St. James has not always looked like it does now. People think that first building was burned in a fire, which is a logical assumption, but in fact, our forebears tore it down to build a bigger structure. I would have loved to sit in on those vestry meetings. They must have had a vision that led them to the extraordinary choice to actually tear down a building to make way for something new. I want to reflect on this idea that the church hasn't always looked like it does today. But I don't mean just the physical church. The Christian church has not always looked like it does today. After Jesus' resurrection, many of his followers continued worshiping in the synagogue until it became clear that they needed to make a change. In those early years, the church was persecuted, and some, like James, were martyred. In the fourth century, all that changed. The Emperor Constantine made Christianity the religion of the empire. No longer did Christians worship in hiding, but great churches were built all over the empire, and crowds of people were baptized. You might say that the church underwent a seismic shift. In fact, author and professor Phyllis Tickle has proposed that throughout Christian history, every 500 years, there has been just that, a tectonic shift. So significant, it's like the earth itself is moving. 500 years after Christ, the Roman Empire collapsed, and along with it, the church entered the Dark Ages. 500 years after that was the Great Schism, when for the first time the Roman Church divided into East and West. 500 years after that, the Reformation began. And again, the Church made a seismic shift. So here's something to ponder. It's been 500 years since the Reformation. For that reason, Phyllis Tickle and others claim that we are due for another major shift in the Church. She likens it to a great rummage sale. Every 500 years, the Church looks at everything that has accumulated over those centuries and decides what we keep and what we have to let go. This week I came across an article written in 2017 by Jill Sandrick, a member of Westminster Presbyterian in Auburn. In this article, Sandrick recaps Phyllis Tickle's description of what is happening in the Church today. Listen carefully, because it may sound familiar. Remember, this was 3 years ago. Tickle claims we are in a new era of the emergent church, a religious movement that crosses denominational boundaries, seeks common ground, engages diverse cultures, embraces social causes as ways to live out Christ's call to serve others, and takes place largely outside the church building. Little did anyone know that in 2020 we would be propelled outside the walls of the church, propelled into our neighborhoods, and in fact onto the internet. These last 4 months, the church has looked nothing like anything we would have recognized 6 months ago. This reality, this tectonic shift, has caused people of faith to wonder if the pandemic is in fact an opportunity God is using to push us to examine all that we have accumulated these last 500 years. To look at our expectations of what church should be. To look at how we do ministry and worship, prayer and service. This might just be an opportunity to see with fresh eyes all the things we were so busy doing year in and year out. And to prayerfully ask, is it time for the church to take on a different look that will better share God's love, deepen people's faith, and serve those in need in the world as it is today? I realize this is a tough question to be asking right now. What we long for is to go back to normal. But what if this is a moment in which God is actually asking us, pushing us, to prayerfully discern what the church needs to become? I've joked with the staff that when we made the quick change to online worship in March, I could almost hear God saying, "You had the capability to do this, to reach the world online. You just weren't doing it. So now you have to." John Claypool once described God as the alchemist God. An alchemist takes lead, the basest of metals, and turns it into gold. God has always been able to take what seems to have no promise and fill it with new life. What if God is using this moment in history to transform the church in a way that only God sees? I don't honestly know what that will be. But I do know that right now, we've had to let go of nearly everything the way we did it. We are traveling with very little baggage. So maybe, while we are stripped down, maybe this is time to ask the Holy Spirit to show us what the church is to become. This is a time for us to be in prayer and to trust God, who has led the church in every era and is leading us now as we are molded and shaped into something we do not yet know. Amen.